In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We live in a sensitive time in human history. Everyone always seems to be taking offense at something. Right? We form groups and clubs just to sort of come up with rules and standards and norms so that if anyone ever breaks them, we can all be offended together. I mean, sometimes you get the impression that people are just looking for things to take offense at. People love the politically correct game. You know that game well. I was always bad at it, at least historically, because I just didn't care about that sort of thing. And two, because I'm really a caveman in a lot of senses. Yeah, good buddies, so you're going, yes, you are. Right beside my wife who's laughing at me. But I live under a rock, really, and I prefer that and have for most of my life. Not surprisingly, over the years, people have taken great offense at Jesus Christ and his church, at us. Why? Because the kingdom of Christ has a set of rules, has a set of standards, has a set of morals and guidelines that it places higher than any earthly law or custom. We confess that Jesus Christ is our King and that nothing trumps him. Nothing. And the world does not like that. The world does not like its kings trumped. So, what's the world's response, the Bible says? And they took offense at him, at Jesus. And they took offense at God, at Yahweh in the flesh. And they hated him. People of his own hometown. I mean, here they were, long awaiting their Messiah, long awaiting him to come and rescue them and free them. Yahweh in the flesh is standing before them, and they're offended by him, and they hate him. They immediately become offended. And they find something to complain about. In the first century, most of the known world, was under the occupation and the reign and the rule of the massive Roman Empire, the first century instantiation of Babylon, right? Rome was supreme. I mean, even God's people are occupied by Rome, by the Roman Empire. So a state of occupation is the immediate setting which the earliest Christian found themselves in. And one of the things that helped Rome to grow so much was it was all tolerant of every single religion, every single philosophy, every single ideal. You know, if you wanted to go outside in the middle of the night, stark naked, and worship a rock with a smiley face on it, that was just fine to the Romans. It was all good. The Romans didn't care. They had one and only one caveat. You know what it is that you have to first give your worship to the emperor. You had to bend your knee in worship to the Roman emperor, to the Caesar, elevating the state as equal to or above your own god or gods, whatever it may be.
your rock with a smiley face on.
This, of course, was technically a problem for the Jews, technically, right? But they kind of let it slide off, you know, just said, wink, wink, Rome, whatever. We're going to do our thing. We'll bend our knee to the emperor, but not really. But then comes the death of Jesus Christ and the birth of Christians by the fire of the Spirit. This church who Jesus Christ sends out into the world to gather the harvest from the nations. And do you think that they are going to bow down and bend their knee to any other god, most of all Caesar? Absolutely not. And it is at this point that the Jews started distancing themselves from the early Christians, from these emperor-opposing Jews, as they were known in the first century. They didn't want any trouble with the Romans, right? They had lived peacefully with them. Remember how Rome does, you know, the Pax Romana, this false notion of peace. They lived under that for years. And they wanted to continue blending in with the rest of the culture around them, not making any waves, not sticking out like a sore thumb, just doing their own thing and going about their lives, even though it required them to break the first commandment in setting up an idol over Yahweh. Now, once, of course, Rome realized this was the mentality of most Christians, right? These people that were claiming to be true Israel, that they would not ever submit to Rome's way of doing things, it became the policy of the state to abolish them. They were hunted down, they were crucified, they were fed as food to lions, they were burned alive, they were made to fight all sorts of wild beasts in the arena, ending always in death. All for saying no to the way Rome, Babylon, demanded them to be. It was conform or die. Conform to our way of doing things, conform to our debaucherous culture, our idolatrous culture, or you're done. That's what they said. Now, this may seem distant to us because Rome was so long ago, Babylon even further. But I tell you, the spirit of Rome still exists to this day. God's people, even in the land of the free and the home of the brave, even on this 4th of July weekend, are still persecuted for following in the way of Christ instead of the way of this world. And Rome, or the world, or as we might call her, Babylon, is still trying with all of her might to occupy God's holy people. Just as people took offense to Christ, Christians continue to offend the world, because we are the ones who bear Christ to them. We lift Christ up in our bodies and are the light of the world shining toward Christ. And we proclaim his peace, the peace between God and men. And yet, because we will not be assimilated into the world and the way of the world, we are hated for it. We are persecuted for it, made to look like fools for it. If you don't believe me, pay attention next time the faith, the Christians, are brought up in a TV series or a movie, and you tell me if it's in a good light or not. Now, this does not surprise the mature Christian, right? The experienced Christian, knows the scripture well. Right? He knows what the gospel says today in verse 11. He knows what it is to have to shake the dust off of his feet during some times in his life. Now, you've heard this word repent many times in his life. When Christ opened his mouth to preach, this is what he preached. It was this word repent. And I know that you have taken it to heart yourselves. But have you considered what it means when you say that word to someone else? It's not as easy to actually go out and proclaim to someone, to warn them about the disobedience of Chorazin, of Bethsaida and Sodom, and call them back to Jesus Christ in a spirit of gentleness and of love, to call them out of sin. That's a whole different ballgame altogether. Recognizing sin in a person's life, especially a friend, especially a family member, is like getting smacked in the face. And it hurts. I know you know that it hurts. But actually talking to them about it, going to them about it, because you love them and you love Christ, and ultimately ending up in a place where you call them out of that, call them away from that, that is tremendously hard. Because proclaiming repentance at the end of the day means telling a person that they're wrong. Right, this is the sort of stuff that usually does not make a person too popular in large groups of people. I mean, whoever has that guy over on the 4th of July? Probably no one. Because who here likes to be told that they're wrong? No one's raising their hand. Not a one. Exactly. No one. Right, there are so many people in America today that claim the name of Jesus. Right, they claim that title and honor of Christian. But they don't want to actually let him affect a change in their lives. You see, we have a problem with obedience in our culture. We don't understand the difference between freedom and license. And the difference is huge. Like, I mean, we think freedom of just being, you know, well, I can have the license to do whatever I want to do, right? Freedom no longer has to do with responsibility for us. It's just, you know, whatever I feel like I want to do, I can do it. Like watching the outcome of this stupid Diddy trial that went on this last week, when our only standard for morality, our only standard for right and wrong is consent. We've got a huge, huge cultural problem. Huge problem. I mean, if this would have happened 100 years ago, this man would have been tarred and feathered and ridden out of town on a rail. But our only standard for morality nowadays is consent. It's a horrible, horrible problem. But like the Jews in the first century, so many just want to blend in with the culture. Don't rock the boat. Don't make waves. Be unnoticed. But here's the thing. You cannot live this way and be faithful to Christ. If you are going to follow in the way of Jesus, you cannot go by unnoticed. Right? If you're going to claim his name, you have to do what he has commanded you to do. If you love me, You will keep my commandments, Christ says. I've heard Christians say all sort of self-serving things. I've said self-serving things many, many times. I won't go down the list. You know, I'm not innocent. But I've heard Christians say weird things like, you know, I'm a Christian, but I'm not one of those sorts of Christians. And I'm not that type of Christian. I'm not the kind of Christian who will actually come to you and call you out of your sin. I'm not that kind of Christian. Right? I'm not the kind of Christian that sees you sinking into hell and won't even reach out my hand to yours. You don't have to worry about me trying to convict you of your sin or convert you or call you to faithfulness to Jesus. Why? I'm not that kind of Christian. You don't have to worry about me talking about repentance or sin or even God. Why? I'm not that sort of Christian. Is that the sort of Christian you want to be? God save us from that sort of confession of the Christian religion. I mean, does Jesus' suffering and his death mean so little to the church today that we don't care what he commands of us to do? That we wouldn't even open our mouths and encourage away from sin, even our closest friends and family, to repent and restore them in gentleness and in love? These such people are exactly the hypocrites that Jesus exhorts us not to be in the New Testament, right? Their actions look nothing like the confession of their tongues. But you see, the people who do this, they don't want others to think that they're any different from anyone else in this culture. In their heart, they are ashamed of their Lord. They're ashamed of his cross. But you cannot confess that Jesus is Lord and then act like he is not. You cannot. These sorts of people are not just concerned with the way of the world, with Babylon. Scripture calls the way of the world Babylon, right? Whatever the instantiation of Babylon is in our day. Not just concerned with the way of the world, they are preoccupied with it and not the way of Jesus Christ. They've been occupied by Rome, by Babylon, occupied by the prince of this world, the dragon of Revelation, precisely because they have been preoccupied with them. And Satan, who is the prince of this world, will drag down with him anyone he can, straight to hell. I say to you, do not bend your neck to his yoke. Do not go back into the slavery that you once knew. The work that you have been called to by the resurrected Lord, of bearing him on your lips and bearing him as the light of the world, that work is offensive. You need to get used to it. And so I hope that you will offend some people along the way. I hope that you already have, but that you'll continue to do it throughout your lives. We're offensive to the world. Because in a world that has an insatiable desire to devour both the body and the soul, we have a duty to proclaim the reign and the rule of this world's true king, whose name is Jesus. And we have that duty precisely to those who seek to devour us. Don't forget that. Because the real enemies of the gospel of the church and of Christ, it's not men, it's Satan. And you can't tell me going to war against Satan is not a hard thing to do. We are offensive because we bear witness to God in a world that hates him and has killed him. We are offensive because for nearly 2,000 years, we have proclaimed the gospel of Christ, alive out of death for the healing of the nations. And we're not going to stop anytime soon. So go, beloved of the Lord, and do it. And do it in the name of Jesus. Amen.